going on, everyone? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, NBA DFS podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm Sean Kane. I'm your daily host. We are wrapping up the week here on Lineup Logic, and the listeners are coming on strong. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much tuning in, interacting with me on Twitter. It's been great, man. People have responded really positively to the breakdowns, and I've just appreciated it a lot. It makes working here a lot easier. Please, if you get the chance, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Stitcher. I know a lot of people are streaming on SoundCloud, and that's awesome. Subscribe and review. That would be awesome. I would truly appreciate a positive review in iTunes. To those of you who are retweeting, I have some shout outs here. Yesterday, appreciate the retweets from DFS God. Clearly he's in New York. If you check out the man's profile, he's got Jeter up there in the Knicks, Porzing Goat. I love it, man. I love Porzingis. Handle is, at @AB_theGoat. Shout out to, a guy who's been following the show for the last week or so, DFS Bear, another lineup provider, @DFS_Bear. We were talking the slate the other day, and he did exactly what I recommend people do, which was super wise. Took some ideas from the lineup, took some ideas from the cash core, and then pivoted a ton to make his own lineup, to basically be like, all right, this is who I like, this is who I don't like that Sean was on, this is who I'm on, and that's kind of the inspiration for the lineup. Dude, DFS Bear, getting it done on a regular basis, winning record in NBA. So hit him up if you need lines. Hit up AB, the GOAT, if you need lines. And also want to shout out one of the writers over at Fan Forecast, our partner Fan Forecast. Those guys doing great work over there. Cody Barber at Fan Forecast. Cody. Cody writes the daily value column at Fan Forecast and breaks down some of his favorite plays that aren't studs on the slate. So always a good read, always another opinion, another voice besides, the major outlets. Everybody reads Roto Grinders, everybody reads Number Fire, everybody reads all these major outlets. Always good to have another opinion, another voice in the mix. So check out at Fan Forecast Cody over there on the Fan Forecast blog, friend and partner of the podcast. It is Friday the 20th. Next hour, we're going to preview the night to come in NBA spreads, injury news. We'll break down some players to target on the slate upcoming with my boy, Josh Fernandez. He's back breaking down the slate with me on Fridays. Always good to have Josh in here. But we're going to take a quick recap of the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so a couple pivots happened. We didn't get any Jokic news, which kind of freaked me out a little bit last night. So I was a little bit worried about Jokic. So I did get off of Jokic. I made some pivots to the lineup, and then we got the Kevin Love news. So we had to lock in Kyrie. Jokic ultimately played. Jokic rolled. It was tilting. But we had to also get Hernan Gomez out of the lineup because Hernan Gomez was not starting because Porzingis was in. So I got off of Hernan Gomez, got off of Jokic, and got on Whiteside. And got on Whiteside, who I will never play again. It was just like there was a lot of people who were on Whiteside, a lot of sharps. We're talking up Whiteside, especially with the rebound rate. Dallas just gives up so many rebounds, but I know I don't feel comfortable with Whiteside, one. Two, I know that Whiteside is wildly inconsistent. And then three, I know that Whiteside is like just not a good cash game play. he's not. He doesn't perform consistently enough for cash gameplay. He doesn't perform. And of course, he did exactly what we didn't want him to do. Second time in a row that we've rostered him this week on the show. And he crushes us. He goes for 24 FD points. Can't stand it. It's so frustrating because I was right about Jokic. A lot of people were saying, fade Jokic, don't fade Jokic, Spurs are too good. No, dude puts up 56 FD points. I'm pissed. I was pissed about that. You know, I knew that with the extra usage and the extra minutes that Jokic was going to get it done. I should have stayed on Jokic and found a way to get the money on Jokic. But we didn't. We made that mistake. And, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You got to trust your instincts sometimes. You don't just trust. I think that one of the things that I struggle with, and I definitely struggle with this in NFL, you know, is, and a lot of guys struggle with this, oversaturation of information. Your eyes, your instincts tell you a lot about a player or a play that you see. And when you don't feel comfortable, don't play him. If you don't feel comfortable with them, don't play them. Don't go with what other people are telling you all the time. If you don't feel comfortable with them, don't play them. And I did it. I did it anyway. Pissed off about that. About, you know, angry at myself. But you know, lesson learned there. Trust your instincts. Trust your gut. My gut said, don't play Whiteside. Play Jokic. And I wish I had. Needless to say, hey, buyer's remorse, hindsight is 2020. We are going to make sure that we understand our process over results. We have to make sure that we understand our process each and every day. You know, we got a couple calls straight on. Otto Porter, Kawhi Leonard were rock solid. Eric Bledsoe, rock solid. Kyrie was fine. He wasn't great, but the whole world was on Kyrie. The one thing that I'm also frustrated by is we called John Wall, okay? We knew that Derrick Rose, terrible defensive efficiency in a back-to-back, and John Wall goes for 58 FD points and hits his ceiling. Just kind of tilting to know that our process is right, but we didn't follow it. So you guys got to keep me honest, man. Trust the process, right? Joel Embiid, trust the process. The research here is good on the show. We got to stick with it. Anyway, let's take a look at the slate for tonight. Okay, so nice 9-game slate tonight. Some great games, including, you know, the headliner, Golden State going down to Houston, Western Conference battle there. Should be pretty exciting. But let's get started here with Toronto at Charlotte. 214 total. Charlotte favored by one. This should be a battle, man. These two teams in the Eastern Conference, this should be a tight game. Nice for fantasy value. Definitely like targeting players in this game. A lot of really good, consistent, well-priced players in that game. So Toronto at Charlotte. No serious injury news to be concerned about. You know, Lucas Nogueira likely out for the Raptors, but we weren't really worried about him. Patrick Patterson, not really worried about him. The only thing that really does, in my mind, is possibly open up a little bit more Damari Carroll, maybe open up a little bit more usage for a guy like Norman Powell and stuff like that. So, you know, keep your eye on those injuries because it does open up the bench a little bit for Toronto. Next game, we got the Bucks at the Magic, 209 total. Bucks favored by 2.5 at Orlando. Injuries in this one, Evan Fournier's sore heel is still a thing. Fournier's still probably missing time. He's questionable right now. Doesn't look like he is going to play. He'll probably be out for an extended period. So, you know, definitely something to watch there. And Jody Meeks went down with a finger injury last game. So I think it's Aaron Gordon time, baby. He's going to have to put the team on his back, though. And do work. And then we've got Portland at Philly, 209 total. And that one, Portland favored by 1.5. But I don't know. Don't sleep on those red hot 76ers at home. The city of Philadelphia loves you, Joel Embiid. Injury, watch the TJ McConnell news. And that's about it in that one. Then we're going down to Atlanta, Chicago at the Hawks. Nice, another Eastern Conference battle. You get some nice Eastern Conference battles here. Toronto and Charlotte, Chicago, Atlanta. Those are some nice Eastern Conference games. Atlanta favored by 5 in this one, which, you know, considering the star power that the Bulls have, people might be surprised. But the Hawks, man, they're just rock solid right now. They're just playing excellent defense. I don't know what move the Atlanta Hawks make to take the next step out of the 4-8 playoff seeding range. I'd love to know what people think. I don't know if it's like get rid of Dwight. I don't know if it's, you know, get rid of Millsap. I don't know if it's just blow it up and rebuild. Like, they're not going to do anything in the playoffs, obviously, but they're a pretty solid team. I don't know what the move is. I mean, I keep thinking about these Eastern Conference teams that need to take another step. Toronto, Atlanta, Charlotte, Boston. You know, it's like you can just tell that they just don't have that extra dude, which is why I want Boogie in the Eastern Conference. I want Boogie in the Eastern Conference, and I want him on Charlotte, personally. I don't know if that makes any sense. Real basketball minds could probably tell me no, but I do want him on Charlotte. I would also love to see him on Washington. And I think that actually makes sense. Washington could flip a pick and Kelly Oubre and Gortat and backfill for Rudy Gay, who blew the Achilles. Anyway, we're talking too much about Boogie. Golden State at Houston. 236 total in this one. I'm going to repeat that number. 236 points planned to be scored in this game. Golden State favored by 4.5 on the road. And that's just disrespectful to the Rockets, who are hot. They're the Rockets, man. They're one of the best scoring teams in the NBA, and they're even better at home. Gosh, Warriors. But I don't want to play them. They're terrifying. The death lineup is just coming together right now, and it's just terrifying. And we got the Kings at the Grizz. 200-point total in this one. Grizzlies favored by 6. Injuries in this, Rudy Gay blew up the Achilles. That hurt our lineup the other day, we know, because he left at the end of the third quarter. But he's, like, done for the season. So I think they got to blow it up in Sacramento. Nets at Pelicans. No line said in this one, just said probably waiting on Brown news. Make sure he plays, make sure he's going to play full minutes. You know, and on the Nets side of things, Jeremy Lin's still out, which, you know, maybe it opens up some value, but I don't play the Nets. It just permanent fade on the Nets. And then we've got Utah at Dallas. No spread in this one. Dallas was in action tonight, so likely they're waiting to set that line, make sure that nobody comes out of that with an injury of any kind. But good gracious, that will be the slowest basketball game on earth. Like, look for like a college score. You know, going 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and we've got Utah 65, Dallas 54. brutal pace in that one. Totally fine if you want to put a permanent fade on that game. Then we got Pacers at L.A. They're going to the Staples Center. They got the Lakers. 220 total in this one. You know, not bad. Not bad. Pacers favored by 3. Pacers playing well, coming off the win at Sacramento. So should be a decent game for fantasy purposes. And no injuries really to report in that one, except for Luol Deng likely out again with the wrist, which opens up the bench a little bit for the Lakers. So keep your eye on those bench players for the Lake Show. All right. I am going to get into the player breakdown. And like I mentioned, we have my friend Josh Fernandez here to help us with the breakdown. We're going to target some players we absolutely love tonight. Who do you love? All right, so we're going to take a minute now, and we're going to break down tonight's slate and dive into some of the top-tier players that we love. I have brought on my friend and partner here, Josh Fernandez, to help me break down this Friday slate. Josh, how are you doing, brother?
I'm pretty good, Sean. How you doing, man?
Very good, very good. Feeling great. I mean, we've made a ton of progress in the pod here in the last week. Tons of listeners added every day, so really pumped about that.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm keeping my eyes peeled on all your posts and the great information that you're sharing with the community on Twitter and through the pod. So I'm just really happy to be a part of it. So thanks again for including me.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. All right. What have you been getting into these days?
Not too much. Just trying to grind away here on FanDuel and trying to make a buck here and there. Doing some reading, some writing. I've been working hard on my blog. And one of the posts that is coming up soon in the next couple days is a review on a book I just finished reading that I think applies very well to DFS. So before I tell you briefly about it, I just got a quick question for you. So you ready?
Yeah, fire.
Okay. All right. So consider this problem for a second. All right. A bat and a ball cost $1.10. Okay. Together they cost $1.10.
Okay.
The bat costs $1 more than the ball. So how much does the ball cost?
10 cents.
Again, okay. So you say 10 cents, right?
Yeah, $1.10 total, dollar more. Yeah, it's 10 cents.
Okay. So I'm not surprised you said that. In fact, the vast majority of people say that. That's actually the incorrect answer, believe it or not. So the reason it's the incorrect answer, well, the reason that you got that answer incorrectly is because you thought intuitively it seemed like a simple problem, right?
Right, right, right. Right.
So the problem is actually not simple. The problem requires deeper thinking.
Okay.
Real quick, the answer to the problem was $1.05 for the bat and 5 cents for the ball, right?
Okay.
A difference of a dollar, a total of $1.10. But why did you get that problem wrong? And I'll tell you, the reason you got that problem wrong, and as an aside, more than 50% of students at Harvard, MIT, and Princeton, some of the most elite institutions in the world, and more than 80% of students at more typical universities got the problem wrong, was because we were relying on answering something that seemed intuitive with quick thinking. All right. So this problem comes from a book called Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. He's a Nobel Prize winner and author of that book from 2011. He's a applied psychologist. And I just want to share with you one of the central premises of the book, and that's that our minds have two systems. Okay. We have system one and system two. And I know he probably spent a ton of time naming those systems, system one and system two, but it makes sense. If you think about this here for a second, system one is an intuitive, sudden, quick reaction type of thinking, part of our evolutionary past. So maybe if you hear a loud sound, unexpected sound, you turn your head and look to see where it came from.
Sure.
that's your instincts kicking in. Okay. But the problem is that we have instinctive reactions to all kinds of things, and we can be led astray and answer or think or react incorrectly. what we should be relying on more often in our complex information-driven world is system two. And system two, Kahneman says, is our more thoughtful and deliberate calculating system. So our mind has another system, system two, which helps us make more decision-making, reasoning, and, you know, founding our beliefs. And these are the kinds of tasks that take a lot of energy, you know, metabolic energy, and our bodies don't want us to think hard because, you know, it takes away energy from the rest of our body. So all this psychology mumbo jumbo, what's the point? My point is that as DFS players, a lot of us are apt to look for the intuitive, easy solution to problems that a given slate poses to us. And what right. I offer you that Kahneman taught me in my reading of the book was that we need to slow down. We need to take more time. We need to make better decisions, reason things out, not let our cognitive biases get in the way, which is a topic I'd like to talk about at a later date, and just think more slowly.
Think interesting. More slowly. Interesting. Yeah, man. I think that it's like one simple way that I always ask myself about my lineups is like, why does this lineup suck? You know, and like try to really pull apart why my lineup has, you know, what flaws it has in it. And, you know, and that's the question that you try to answer when you review your lineups as well. The, you know, the next day is, why did this lineup suck? How did I reach this decision? Why was that the wrong decision or the right decision? Da, 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 da. All right. All right. Well, Josh, you are always thinking, my friend, about other ways to think about DFS. So I appreciate that. But let's go ahead and take a look at the, let's take a look at the slate. Let's take a look at, some of the studs that we have out here. What we're going to do right now is we're going to break down the top priced players at every position. So you can figure out which studs you want to roster at every position. And I'm going to start with point guard, then we'll switch. We'll go snake style back and forth. Jumping into point guard here, Josh, there's two plays that stand out to me that are pretty much almost exactly comparable as far as projections and situation. You've got Steph at 9-1 with Houston, and then you've got Lowry at 8-8 going to Charlotte. Okay. Plus matchups for different reasons, right? Obviously, Steph is in a great matchup is just because of pace and competitiveness, and Houston and Golden State should put up a ton of points. I'll be very interested to see what the over-under is set at. And then the other one is, you know, Lowry's a DVP play. Kemba, not really a great defender. We've seen him, you know, struggle against the point guard lately. And, you know, I think they're really pretty comparable, so you have to consider which one you want to go with. They've both seen the same opponent this year, right? Steph has had Houston, Lowry's had Charlotte. They scored 42 and 43. Okay, they basically both hit value. What's really interesting though is they both really shot very poorly in those games, like 25 to 30% each of them. Took a ton of attempts. Lowry had 16 total attempts, only shot 25% behind the arc. Steph had 22 attempts. Which is way above average as far as just normal attempts go. So something tells me that they're getting looks that they like in these matchups. They just weren't hitting. But really, really, like, it comes down basically to this. If they're both projected to hit about the same number, I'm going to take the guy who's cheaper, right? You know, save $300. $300 can make a difference for you somewhere else in the slate, somewhere else where there's value. And I like Lowry's ability to stuff the stat sheet. He's averaging more rebounds and assists than Steph. And if the shot isn't falling, then Lowry, you know, he's going to do other things in that matchup. Averaging 22, 5, and 7, he's got a floor of 20 points, a ceiling of 55. And that 55-point ceiling is actually higher than Steph's ceiling this season. Great matchup. And he's going to see increased usage. I know, Josh, you are on Batum, but he does have a pretty good, you're on DeRozan, but Batum does have a pretty good defensive real plus minus on the season. So Why don't you talk us through? You're looking at the same matchup, same side of the ball. What's up, DeMar DeRozan? Huh, shooting guard.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan. You know, there's just something that can be said about saving salary, and I love the idea of saving salary where I can get it. There's other options on this slate that I'm more willing to spend up for compared to Harden and Giannis. So I just love the idea of saving a couple $1,000 in FanDuel salary cap using DeRozan. Now, I recognize, you know, your proposition that that Nick Batum is a great defender, and I don't disagree. But the thing is that, you know, Charlotte gives up a lot of production to opposing shooting guards. I mean, over the past 4 weeks, they're the worst team over the last 4 weeks, and they're eighth worst for the season. So over the last 4 weeks, you know, I think we can attribute that to Batum being a little banged up at times, perhaps. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not a Charlotte fan or observer, you know, closely.
But, writer.
Yeah, exactly. But it's worth considering. Charlotte is, in fact, the worst team, FanDuel point-wise, against the shooting guard position over the last 4 weeks. So that's something to consider. You know, on top of that, DeRozan, in and of himself, he's outperforming his salary regularly. His last 10 games, he's outperformed his salary six times. In fact, has surpassed 50 FanDuel points in three of those outings, two of which were on the road, as is this current matchup against Charlotte. Never gets under 30 points. Doesn't get under 30 points. Right?
Nice.
Very reliable with field goal attempts. Regularly getting over 20 field goal attempts. Regularly getting double-digit free throw attempts, which, in my view, is a very underrated element of success in DFS.
I completely agree with that. I think next week I'm going to take a deeper dive into free throw attempts and free throw rate and, you know, try to better understand. I mean, you're just getting free points every single time these guys get to the line.
Absolutely. And I wish, I don't want to, you know, sit here and look for the article, but there is an article on Fantasy Labs that took a deep dive look using their trends tool at how free throw attempts can affect plus minus, which is one of their proprietary stats. So we could look at that more closely. But yeah, free throw attempts, people forget about that. You know, just like you said, it's a free look, you know, and some guys get them 10, 12 times a game.
Yeah, DeRozan definitely one of the league leaders. Interesting.
Yes, sir. What do you think about small forward, Sean?
All right, small forward. Well, it's one of those spots that you were talking about where you really want to spend up. It's KD, man. KD is he's heartless. He's a killer. I said this on the other day. I said, you know, in the Oklahoma City before the Oklahoma City game, I was like, if you believe that Kevin Durant has no heart and he wants to destroy his enemies, then Kevin Durant is for you in this matchup. And what did he do? He goes out and he puts up 41. Russ cusses him out at the end of the game. He has no love or mercy for the Western Conference right now. He put up here's what's great. Last time he had Houston, that's his ceiling game this year. 68 FD points, 39 minutes. It was super competitive. He took 39 minutes. He had 14 rebounds. Talking about those free throws, Josh, 12 for 12 from the line in that game against Houston. Unbelievable. And I just like Golden State is so hot right now and scoring at such an amazing rate that I don't think Kevin Durant won't hit value. You know, I think he needs 53 FD points at this price. I think that's fine. 50 is definitely achievable for him in this matchup. He's hit that game. He's hit 50 or more points against the league's best 9 different times. He's hit it against Houston. He's hit it against the Cavs, he's hit it against OKC, he's hit it against the Spurs, the Raptors, and of course the Nets.
Sean, Do you see that over under?
No, what is it?
236.5.
That's insane, dude.
236.5. That's stupid. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know if they were going to publish it because of some of the injuries on the Houston side of the ball. But if they're that's insane. 236. I mean, you got to have shares of this game. And I think Kevin Durant is – he is, you know, and especially, Josh, you're talking about the price of Harden, right? Okay, Harden is 12-something, right? But it's – as far as ceiling goes, they're very comparable. You know, it's just – I think Harden and Kevin Durant are both just as likely to go for 60. And you're getting that savings. So 10.5 is a great place, price for KD. And I actually think this is going to be the toughest game of the week that Golden State has, to be completely honest with you.
Definitely. I know with a spread of 4.5, I mean, you know, at this point in time, we're recording it, you know, late Thursday evening, and it's going to be a bloodbath. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a game. And, you know, yeah. When those games emerge, you want to have the stars, and KD sure. is the guy you want to go with.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, take us through power forward here, Josh.
All right, power forward. So speaking of the Golden State Houston game, you look at Draymond, and you gotta love the fact that, as I said, you have that 236.5 over under. You know, so there's going to be a lot of rebounds to go around. Houston has actually been the worst team against power forwards over the last month, based on FanDuel points allowed. I get it. All right. The clues are all there for you to go with Draymond, but I'm not going to go with Draymond. I'm going to go with the man, Anthony Davis, 11-9 versus Brooklyn. Anthony Davis. Okay. We know he's an outstanding player. I don't need to analyze him that much. I mean, it's been done 100 times over. But here's the thing. I just want to talk about him from a strategic standpoint. I mean, he's like the epitome of a great tournament option, and it's for several reasons. I mean, first of all, he has unlimited upside. I mean, he has the most upside of any player in the NBA. I mean, there was that time earlier this year where he just missed 100 FanDuel points.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah.
It's insane. So he has that in his back pocket. He can do that. Is it likely to happen at this point in the season? Probably not. But he's done it, and he owns that skill. The other thing is his swings. His swings of 30 to 60, then to 40, and then to 70 points all season long. You know, that is a volatile player, and it's someone that if I'm picking for an elite stud in a cash game, I'm probably not going to go with Brow in most circumstances.
Exactly.
But,
right.
But for a tournament, you gotta love him just because people know that, you know, people know that he misses chunks of games. He misses a quarter. You know, people know that he's volatile, and people get scared to use him in tournaments sometimes, you know, depending on the slate, especially larger slates. So tomorrow night against Brooklyn, fast-paced game, you know, a defense that hemorrhages fantasy points to opposing players. I like him to have depressed ownership and have the potential to eclipse 60 FanDuel points tomorrow night.
I totally agree with that. I mean, I think you're right to say not cash. He's not really cash viable just because of the injury concerns. But no, I hear you. GPP for sure, especially against Brooklyn. And he didn't play that last game against Brooklyn, if I remember correctly. He was out.
And again, I want to reiterate that Draymond is very tempting.
No, I agree with that because you get that savings. You get that savings with Draymond. And, you know, like in a really competitive game where Draymond's going to get 36 plus minutes, he's triple-double candidate because he does it all. We saw that in the Cleveland game. And he played really well against OKC too. So I like that savings with Draymond for sure. All right. Center though, we got to talk about Boogie. You know, another GPP profile type play, Josh. I think I don't think Boogie is cash viable tomorrow, but I got to talk about him. My favorite basketball player in the universe, Marcus Cousins. 10-6.
Whoa. What about our boy Enes Kanter?
Okay, good point. Actually, I'm sorry. That is a tight race Don't make me choose.
Boogie's your favorite red-blooded American player.
That's right. That's right. Canner gets that European vote. Anyway, so Cousins 10-6. He's got Memphis. I don't love the matchup. You hate the matchup. Memphis is very good against the center. Marc Gasol is very, very good. But this is an insane statistic. Without Rudy Gay, Cousins this season goes to a 41% usage rate and averages 50 FD points in 36 minutes.
That's like Russ Westbrook territory.
Yeah, it's just bananas. I mean, it's the same same numbers. It's actually very similar to the numbers that LeBron has when Kevin Love is off the floor. I broke down that today when we thought Kevin Love was going to be out against the Suns. Yeah, it's very similar to the things LeBron did. And, you know, that's the kind of situation that you want to roster these guys in. Now, I don't know if tomorrow's the night to do it, but you need to be on Boogie watch as, you know, as Rudy Gay is out here with the ruptured Achilles. Last year, he had 17-15-4 against Memphis, which, again, you know, not great. Somewhere in the 40s, I believe, for FD points. But, you know, there is reason to believe that Boogie could take over a game at any moment. So I like Boogie as a GPP play. You know, very interesting to think about maybe, you know, Cousins and Brown in a GPP lineup and fading that Golden State-Houston game because everybody will be on it.
Not a bad idea there.
You know?
And quick question. Rudy Gay, when did he go down again?
He went down last night, ruptured Achilles, out for the season. Going to have surgery next week.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if it was two games ago or what. But speaking of free throws, I mean, Boogie, last two games, 17 and 14 free throw attempts.
Dang, man. Dang. Yeah. See, that's I love that. I love that. I love that. And the rebound numbers that he's had recently are bananas, too. He's doing, you know, 12-plus 15-plus rebounds in a number of games. So,
yeah.
All right, let's jump into this middle tier here, Josh. 5 to 9K, 5 to 8K range. You know, the fantasy grout where you're filling in around your studs. At point guard, I got two guys, very, very similar price points, very similar profiles, you know, very similar. I've offered four point guards at this point. And I was only supposed to offer two, but I don't care.
It's your show, man. You do what you want.
I like point guards, man. I like point guards, bucket getters. So it's Jeff Teague and Mike Conley. Teague at 8K, Conley at 7-8. So this is interesting. Last game, Jeff Teague had Sacramento, and Jeff Teague went bananas. He did like 40 or 50 FD points against Sacramento, and Mike Conley gets them tomorrow night. Sacramento has been terrible against the point guard lately. It should be a very good situation for Conley. Now, Teague heads down the coast, down that California coastline, and goes to the Staples Center. And has the Lake Show, and that's a plus matchup. It's always a plus matchup. You know, poor defensive efficiency in the Lakers. They are 27th against the point guard on the season, and they're 25 in the last five, which basically indicates to me they're not getting any better at defending the point guard. Last game against the Lakers, he shot very poorly. He hit his numbers in assists and rebounds, but he did not shoot the ball well. You got to think that when he's hot like this, though, tomorrow night, he'll have a better game against the Lakers. Matchup is good. Price is okay. You know, he needs 40 points to hit value. Well, he's done that seven times this year, even after the injury. So I like Teague. I like Conley. Both really nice, solid mid-price options there for you, a point guard.
Yeah, I like those choices. You know, they're dead neck and neck. You know, I guess Teague is the Vegas advantage. But Conley's got the better matchup, it looks like.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a toss-up there. Going into shooting guard, I'm going to go with Eric Gordon. I think that Eric Gordon at 6,100, first of all, 6,100 against Golden State in Houston, 6,100 is actually the first time that Gordon has eclipsed 6K for the year. So we are going to be using him at his most expensive salary of the year. It's worth noting. However, this is a really friendly Gordon matchup because of the opponent. You know, Golden State chucks up threes like, you know, nobody else. Houston is a team that likes to shoot the three ball as well. Gordon's one of their most prolific shooters. You know, as I mentioned before, the over-under of this game is 487. Or wait, was it
837? 487. I was like, 487, that's right, I remember that. Right, wait, right. What?
Yeah, yeah. No, man. This game.
It's gonna be Space Jam. It's literally gonna be Space Jam. Yeah. Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, you know, Draymond's gonna come out there and, you know, be Larry Johnson, Grandmama. You know,
yep.
It's gonna be a blast from the past. No, but dude, look,
they are remaking Space Jam.
I know, yeah, with LeBron. I just need to know who's gonna be the other four guys in the starting lineup.
Oh, Jimmy is in there. Jimmy and Blake Griffin are in there. Although
God
I don't know.
God damn it, if Joel Embiid is not in that movie, I'm gonna be pissed.
Oh my God, how amazing would that be?
He deserves it.
He does. He deserves the world.
Yeah, he really does. We'll talk more about him in a minute.
We're going to talk about Embiid. Sorry, talk about Gordon.
Yeah, so Eric Gordon. I mean, look, he's cooled off a little bit lately. That could, you know, be something that could concern some people, but I love when guys, quote-unquote, cool off lately because that depresses ownership. If it's 5% depression, fine, I'll take that. 5% of 100,000, it's not 100,000 people, but it's an easy number for my simple brain to work with. You know, 5% of 100,000 is 5,000 people. Okay, so let's go down. So that's 1,000 people out of 20,000 entries. You know,
sure.
That's 1,000 less people that are, you know, potentially going to use them. So it's just something to consider. I think that he's going to, you know, put up 20, 25, perhaps even 30 real life points. You know, he doesn't do much with the peripheral stats, you know, so that's something to keep in mind. But like I said, in this game with the fast pace, the litany of shots being thrown up there, he's going to get his boards. He's going to get his assists. 5X value doesn't seem, you know, hard for him to get whatsoever. More likely that he gets 6X. You know, I wouldn't mind rolling him out there. You know, we had a hard time thinking of value centers. You know, we'll talk about that in a bit. But, you know, I wouldn't mind rolling him out there, even with, like, Clint Capella. Maybe you can roll him out there with Montrezl Harrell or Ryan Anderson just to get off of James Harden a bit. But bottom line is I like Eric Gordon a lot in this game, so roll him out.
You know, I think when you have these high-total, high-paced games, you want inexpensive exposure to them.
Absolutely.
You know, and Gordon is definitely one of those options. Here's a stat that's reassuring for you, Josh, about Gordon. I was just looking this up. He's plus 10 at home. He shoots 45% compared to 35% on the road, or excuse me, he shoots 45% from behind the arc at home, which is insane.
So just to be clear, when you say plus 10, you mean his three-point shooting?
No, he's plus 10. I mean plus 10, like he's just his overall plus minus.
He's plus 10.
But I think, you know, a lot of that correlates with this three-point shooting percentage. You know, he doesn't really affect his peripherals at all, but he shoots lights out in Houston. So worth remembering.
Yep.
All right, moving on to small forward. I'm going to talk about Paul George. He's 7'4" at LA, but I don't want to talk about Paul George, but I will talk about Paul George real quick. He's a really good price. You know, Gordon Hayward is also 7'4" too. So if you're in a pinch, okay, I think, you know, Hayward is just as interesting. They profile very similarly. Lakers are 27th in DVP to the small forward. Great matchup, good price. He's got a rock solid 22-point floor, and he had 43 against LA last time. They already played once this season. He does need 38 points tomorrow night to hit 5X value. You know, so that seems like a very realistic option given the minutes, as long as that game stays comfortable. Stays close. The thing that I kind of don't love is right now, if George just doesn't have the usage, they're really spreading it around to Thad Young and Miles Turner and Jeff Teague. You know, those guys are playing well and getting minutes and getting buckets. So George just really doesn't have a ceiling with those guys playing so well. So, you know who is 26 in DVP against the small forward? The Hawks. And the Hawks are going up against Jimmy Butler. Jimmy G Buckets. So I love Jimmy Butler. Anytime I get to play Jimmy Butler, I will play him, and I think this is an awesome matchup for him. I think it's going to be a competitive game. Goes four quarters for sure. Just because the way that Atlanta plays in the interior is going to give the Bulls a lot of trouble. But at the same time, the way the Bulls backcourt plays, you know, Jimmy and Dwayne Wade should give Atlanta a lot of trouble. So it should be a nice matchup. Here's kind of a mind blowing stat. Jimmy right now is one of the only players in the league. So I ran this filter for players, Josh, who are getting, you know, a minimum of 30 minutes, who are scoring 20 plus points, have 5 plus rebounds or 3 assists. And Jimmy, it's like Jimmy and LeBron. He's an animal. You know, statistically, his usage, his minutes, the way he stuffs the stat sheet, I absolutely love Jimmy. So he doesn't qualify for the price range, but I love him at small forward tomorrow night.
I like him too. But, you know, Paul George, I mean, he's just in a great spot tomorrow. And I love that pick. And you and I both love Fantasy Labs. We love what they offer. And another one of their proprietary offerings, statistics, if you will, whatever, is their pro ratings, or pro trends, excuse me. And Paul George is the only player with 13 pro trends tomorrow night. Nobody has 12. KD is the only guy with 11. And then there's everybody else. So Paul George, wow. I mean, you know, nothing wrong with rolling him out there tomorrow night, especially at 7,400 against LA. I mean, that's just a sick situation. I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty good stat there.
So speaking of his buddy, Thad Young, at power forward, I love Thad Young tomorrow night. I hate Thad Young, but I love him tomorrow night. The dude is like invisible sometimes. He just disappears, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Yo, what's up? I'm Thad Young. Remember me?" And it's like, "Yeah, yeah, he just scored 40 points." Yeah. And then I go ahead and use him, of course, against Denver the other night, and he puts up a stinker where he can't even eke out half a FanDuel point per minute in almost 30 minutes. So buyer beware, right? Thad Young, not the most consistent player. However, he's been solid on the whole as of late. He's outperformed his salary in 8 of the last 10. He's had 35-plus FanDuel point outings in 2 of his last 4. You know, at his salary of $5,400, that's just outstanding value. You know, and that matchup with LA, they just struggle against power forwards. They're the third worst team against power forwards over the last month. And, you know, I like to think a lot, as you do, and as everybody should, about ownership percentage. And the community at large, they're just not big Thaddeus Young fans. And I can't blame them. He's just not the most attractive option, you know, night in, night out. But, you know, tomorrow night, I mean, being very conservative, I'll say that he's between 10 and 15% owned. My gut tells me that he's going to be under 10% owned. And one last thing on Thad Young, you know, he correlates very well with Paul George and Jeff Teague. So if you do plan on using one of those aforementioned players, there's nothing wrong at all about stacking them with Thad.
No, I like that call. All right, at center – He's not really in the mid tier, but he is priced, you know, appropriately. I think he should be listed as elite. It's the guy who needs to make a cameo in Space Jam. It's Joel Embiid, 8'4". He's got Portland. You always want to roster Embiid. Josh has noted here in the show notes that he's the funniest guy ever. And I agree with completely. He's amazing. It's an elite matchup, Portland, right? Against the Blazers, who've been torched all year long by big men. He will be chalky, but it's a great price, great matchup. There's no reason to fade him. He has not scored less than 33 FanDuel points in 2017.
Damn.
I know. That's
insane. Know that.
Yeah, man. And, like, he's only getting, like, 27 minutes. So he's averaging 22, 10, and 2 with a steal and 3 blocks in the last 5 games. You love that. And I think that, you know, in this spot, Portland, they're going to struggle with the process. So I'm all over Embiid tomorrow night.
You know, I'm looking at the fantasy points per minute for available centers tomorrow night, and there's DeMarcus Cousins at 1.4.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid at 1.37.
Yeah.
And then the next closest guy is Dwight Howard. Well, there's Dwight, Vucevic, who are the two most reasonable players in that area at 1.14. So yeah, there's a huge gap between those two guys, Embiid and Cousins, and everybody else. And, you know, Embiid, 2,200 less than Boogie. But amazing production.
Yeah, amazing production and amazing matchup, an elite matchup. You know, you'll take that savings. So he doesn't have the same ceiling that Boogie does, but this isn't a ceiling opportunity for Boogie because he's got Memphis. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's shift on down to the bargain basement here. Sub 5K, Josh. We'll rattle off a couple decent value plays that people can throw in there. The first one, point guard, kind of predictable. I think people know secret's out. Atlanta doesn't play well against the point guard, so we can probably feel comfortable rolling out a little Michael Carter Williams. MCW is getting 24 minutes as a starter. He's been averaging 11 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. You know, it's roughly only 19 FD points. That's not great. It's only 4x but he does have a plus matchup, right? So he hits value. You could do worse, and you need savings on this slate because you really want some studs in your lineup. So I'm okay with Michael Carter Williams at 4.7. How about shooting guard?
And before I go to shooting guard, I just want to throw one more out there very quickly. Spencer Dinwiddie. One of our guys we got to put on our list for best names in basketball. he's another option at point guard if you're trying to save some cash. 3,800 at New Orleans. Nice matchup there. So
yeah, him and that's Mott, true. But, and he's been getting those starters minutes with Isaiah Whitehead out.
Yes, sir.
Interesting.
Shooting guard, a guy that's fallen off in regards to the perception within the community as of late, but has had two outstanding outings the last two games, is Lou Williams. 4,900, LA's taken on Indiana in Indiana, in LA. Everybody liked him early in the year. I mean, he was a beast. And then he just dropped off, and, you know, it's not a surprise because you had Nick Young returning, you had D'Angelo Russell, you had Julius Randle, Lou Aldang, guys got into the mix and took looks away from Lou. But here's the thing, you know, if you look at how players correlate with each other, he correlates very closely with Lou Aldang. Dang is out, and that's one less mouth to feed. And, you know, because of that correlation, you know, it begs to reason that bodes well for Lou. You pointed out to me, in fact, that with Dang out of the off the floor, there's a 31% usage rate and over one FanDuel points per minute for Lou. So it's clear that if Deng is out, which he will be, you know, Lou has a great chance to have another solid outing. You know, Indiana, middle of the road against shooting guard. They're not awful, but he's getting hot. You got a 220 over under. You know, I like it. I think that he's an outstanding option tomorrow night.
Indiana, and it, you know what is interesting is Lou may come off the bench, and Indiana's first unit defense is definitely better than their second unit defense, and Monte Ellis is not a good defender. So, no. You know, if Lou comes off the bench against Monte Ellis, it could be time to go get some buckets. All right, small forward, it's my man Aaron Gordon. I feel like every time Aaron Gordon is on a slate, I talk about him. He has Milwaukee. Milwaukee, good matchup recently. They have struggled in a major way against the small forward. Gordon is 5K. He keeps hitting 6X, and they don't price him up. You know, he had one bad game. They put him down to 4,900. He hit 30 again. If he's going to hit 6X and he's going to get me 30 FanDuel points every time at 5K, I'm going to keep playing him. And here's the truth, right? Fournier's out or doubtful. This heel injury just keeps nagging at him. I think they're going to need to rest him longer. So without Fournier, Gordon is averaging 30 FD points in 36 minutes. And when Fournier is out of the lineup, for example, last week when Fournier was out for a long stretch, Gordon saw minutes of 36, 39, 36, and 31. If he's getting 36 minutes and he's going to hit 30 FanDuel points, I'm in. You know, why not? You know, it's a great spot to pay down, and you feel good about him in cash games.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I like him a lot. Gets three-point ball. Doesn't turn the ball over. Gets steals.
Yeah.
You gotta like him.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at power forward. You know, there's not really a whole lot to like down in the depths there. You know, we've discussed it before. You know, power forward sucks this year. It's just a dumpster fire. I had to reach a little bit, look for someone good to use, and I uncovered Marvin Williams, and I kind of like him. He's 4,900. He's playing against Toronto at home. He's just a solid player. I mean, he outperforms his salary regularly. He never gets you well over 30 points. Okay? So you have to consider that. But yeah, he does get you that reliable 25 to 30 FanDuel points, which, you know, most people might say, okay, that's cash worthy. But you know, if his ownership is depressed, which I don't see why he would be owned heavily tomorrow night, I'll take that 25 to 30 FanDuel points with, let's just throw out, 7-8% ownership. It's just hard to find a player at this price point with those consistent minutes, you know, the outstanding matchup. I mean, Toronto's just awful against the power forward lately. You know, they're fourth worst against that position over the last month. So if you're trying to save some cash there, I mean, Marvin Williams, solid player.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of studs on the board, and you probably do want to save at power forward. So I like that call. And I have no problem with Marvin Williams. Minutes are there, you know?
Yep.
And the matchup is a good one. I think it's going to be a competitive game, Charlotte-Toronto.
Yeah, I think that whole Frank Kaminsky thing is done.
Yeah, Frank the Tank is over, guys. Yep. It's over. It's done. You know, that's a little sad. Because that was a nice era. That was fun. But it's definitely over.
Yes.
All right. At center, the value, the only real value that we feel comfortable reaching for is Robin Lopez, the Geico caveman.
I like it.
Yeah. I pulled up Google Images last night. I was sitting there watching basketball. I was watching the Bulls game with my wife. And I was like, look at this guy. Doesn't he look like the Geico caveman? And I flip between a picture of Robin Lopez and the Geico caveman. Robin Lopez, Geico caveman. She's like, yeah, actually, yeah.
I feel like Robin Lopez and Brooke should have, like, existed in like Neanderthal times, like thousands of years ago, like fighting on some battlefield in like
gladiators. They would have been amazing gladiators
or something.
Yeah, they would have been amazing gladiators. Have you ever heard Brooke Lopez speak?
Dude, he is the most frightening human being to
Oh my God, his voice is so strange and deep. Yeah,
he's scary.
It's weird.
He really is.
It's so weird, and it's slow. It's not good stuff. Anyway,
do they exist? I mean, they're twin, gigantic, 7-foot, freakishly frightening people. But whatever. I'm sure they're very nice men.
They are. They're very nice men. They've been in the league forever, dude. They're good guys. Anyway, so Robin Lopez getting the good guy vote, 4,500 at Atlanta. We like him, especially if Taj is out. He's been getting extra minutes with Taj out of the lineup. He's been going from like 25 almost up to 35 minutes. So, you know, if Taj has that ankle again tomorrow, you like his chances of exceeding value, which he's done in all those matchups where Taj has been out. So it's just a minutes thing, really. You know, if you know he's going to get those extra minutes, then he's a great value. You don't like the matchup with Dwight, but you know, there's logic to making the decision here. Again, there's lots of studs on this slate that you want to play. So Lopez is a good, safe cash game, you know, savings there. You know, and at 4,500, 5X is very, very achievable. You know, you only need, you know, 22 points. So 22... Yeah. That's not crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I just think ultimately with center, you just don't want to screw around too much. I mean, that's just tomorrow night, I think it's a spend. Or well, I guess tonight, because we're posting this tomorrow from tonight. Oh, mind blowing. I think you got to spend up on center. I love Joel.
I hear you.
He's gonna beast. He's gonna go 50 plus.
Who's that? Embiid.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, so, well, then this brings us to our the next segment. Josh and I are going to draft a lineup in FD. Here we're going to lock in a lineup that we're using the core here, right? So as I always say this, and I want to make sure people understand it, like, this is a core to build around. My expectation is that people are going to pivot. They're going to make changes. They're going to play some of the guys that they feel comfortable with and not feel comfortable with. But this is an example of how you can get your lineup started. And Josh, I think where we have to start is Joel Embiid here at 8,400 with Portland. No question, right?
Let's do it, man. I love it. You know, he's just neck and neck with Boogie. Why not save a couple $1,000?
Exactly. All right, you want the next pick here, brother?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to go ahead and go with the killer Kevin Durant.
I like that call. Why not? All right.
And I will say this with the caveat that, as always, we're willing to revise. You could always pay down a little bit. Well, not a little bit, a lot of it to Paul George. But for now, let's put KD on there because that OU, I mean, forget about it. 236.5, you want the studs.
All right. So in order to give us a little bit of cushion, I'm going to go lock in Thad Young. I think that of all the Pacers, he's probably one of my favorites. So I'm going Thad Young.
Thad Young it is. All right. So I am going to have to, and this is live on the spot, I'm thinking as we go, I'm going to stick with my buddy Lou Williams. Lou Williams has got to save a little salary. He's got that 40-point upside at 4,900, 8-9X. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think Lou Williams is in a good spot for sure. Okay. Let's go ahead and let's get some point guard action in here. And I think that we're going to need some savings, and I like Mike Conley, at Sacramento. You know, we didn't talk about Jrue Holiday, but the reality is, Josh, Jrue's kind of had his usage eaten up by the by Tyreek Evans coming on. You know, Tyreek Evans, healthy Tyreek Evans is eating up Jrue Holiday's usage. So a lot of people might be on Holiday, but I just don't see that much upside to him. So I'm going Conley.
Mm-hmm. I like that pick. And yeah, just real quick, very, very quickly, I am very excited for Tyreek Evans to start getting some more minutes, because for veteran DFS players, you remember Tyreek was just a stud 2 years ago, just killing it. So that man, he's got some serious potential if he can get 30-plus minutes. That said, enough of Tyreek Evans. Let's do a big time pay down at power forward. We got Thad Young in there. Let's go with Marvin Williams.
I like that call, Marvin Williams. Let's go with Marvin Williams
and see where it takes us.
So here's a thought, dude. You know, you were just saying Tyreek Evans. He's 5'8" and he's got Brooklyn. Last game out against Brooklyn, 46 FD points. He's exceeded value in Lauv's last four games, and it's pretty wild. I mean, even in the Orlando game, he only got 20 minutes. He put up 18 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists in 20 minutes. 35 FD points in 20 minutes. That's bananas. So Tyreek Evans is in play tomorrow for sure at 5'8".
Yeah, and if I'm rolling out like a single entry, I may not really feel comfortable with it. I mean, I don't know, but if I'm rolling out multiple entries, say for every 10 entries, I would, you know, use Tyreek in 30-40% of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's just got great upside for the minutes.
All right. I'm going to make an aggressive move. Okay.
All right.
That I don't know if it's going to help us. I don't know if it's possible, but I want Jimmy. Okay, I'm putting you in a really difficult spot here by taking Jimmy. There's only $4,200 left per player.
It's okay. We'll figure it out.
Figure it out.
Tell me why you're thinking that.
I just he's in takeover.
Why Jimmy? Right why now. Jimmy and not why Jimmy and sorry, I lost my train of thought. Why not Jimmy? Paul not George? Paul George.
Yeah, I mean, I think Paul George just doesn't, first of all, he doesn't have the same ceiling that Jimmy has, right? Jimmy has that 50, 60 point ceiling. And I think that I just, you know, I love the way Jimmy does it all, you know, and if you're thinking about the way he's just, like I said, he's averaging right now 24, 6, and 5. He's got, you know, two steals a game, you know, to Paul George's, 22. Well, Paul George. Paul George is putting up some really good minutes. How is he not putting up fantasy value? He's basically averaging 22, 6, and 3.
Well, it's like what you said earlier. They spread the ball around a lot. I mean, you've just got a lot of guys on Indiana that contribute, you know, scoring the ball. I mean, you got Teague, you know, you got CJ Miles, you got, I mean, you got obviously George, you got Miles Turner, who's a relatively high usage center. I mean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, guy like George, if he was on a different team, you know, it'd be a different story.
Yeah, I think, okay, all right. So we'll plug Jimmy in, but maybe we'll have to get off him and maybe we will go with Paul George or Aaron Gordon.
All right. Well, that's what I was going to do is I was going to go ahead and, I was going to go ahead and leave Jimmy.
Okay.
Because it's your show. And I'm going to get off of Kevin Durant.
Oh, interesting. Oh, no.
And I'll tell you why. Okay. And I'm going to get on your boy, Aaron Gordon. Now, here's why.
Okay.
Okay. Getting off of KD and going to Gordon gets us up to 6'9". And that is a lot more palatable than 4-2 remaining.
This is true.
Right? Shooting guard and point guard, I don't think we can find 5K quality players like Gordon And so I think by going down to Gordon, that will allow us to have better options at point guard and shooting guard. So I just think that if we want to have Jimmy in there, and I don't disagree with you, I love him as a player, that's smart. Now, here's my thing real quick before we go to point guard and shooting guard. Earlier you mentioned that we could fade Golden State, Houston. So that's still on the table.
We don't have
any of those players right now.
No, that's actually interesting. And then, you know, if you don't love that, you pivot off of that and you get those guys in there and you get your exposure to that game in inexpensive ways. All right. So what are we looking at point guard here, Josh? What are you thinking? Are you thinking Teague? Are you thinking Lowry?
Well, I'm actually thinking that we go to shooting guard and plug in Aaron Gordon and see what happens.
Eric Gordon? Okay.
Because we can get in on that juicy matchup. And now we have 7-8 for our point guard spot.
Ooh, which just puts us out of reach for Jeff Teague.
Ugh.
Okay, well, hold on. I got an idea. You ready?
Yes.
To complete the Golden State Houston fade in this lineup, which, by the way, just listeners, we don't completely recommend that. But if you wanted to, you get off Eric Gordon and you go to the man of the hour, Tyreek Evans.
There you go, man.
Tyreek Evans. So, you know, kind of a nice – this is a decently fair and balanced lineup, a really good core, but definitely pivotable for sure. You know, a lot of spots where you can move off of guys and get on different players. All right, so here it is. Point guard, you've got Mike Conley and Jeff Teague. At shooting guard, you've got Lou Williams and Tyreek Evans. Small forward, it's Aaron Gordon and Jimmy Butler. At power forward, it's Thad Young and Marvin Williams. And at center, it is the process himself, Joel Embiid. Not bad, you know, not bad. You could have done worse. But there is not a lot of value on this slate, man. There really isn't a lot of, you know, compared to, you know, tonight and the night before, you have all of those cheap players. This is not that slate.
No, it's not. But, you know, these large slates, 9 games, 18 teams to pick from, you know, it allows you to be creative. And that's what we're doing here. We're being creative. You know, we're rostering, frankly, elite talents in Tyreek Evans with minimal minutes. And, you know, I mean, you never know. You never know. That's the thing. You know, you got to build those, as I've said before, anti-fragile lineups. You know, you got to, you know, expect chaos, expect disorder. And if it ends up happening and the chips fall, you know, in your favor, then, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
That's right, man. That's absolutely it. That's it. All right, brother. Well, guys, I appreciate everyone tuning in. Josh, I appreciate you helping me prep the pod today and getting this lineup together. That is it for me. Josh, where can they find you on Twitter?
Yeah, people can find me on Twitter at Josh Fern. That's at JOSHFERN. I love to chat, talk about DFS, talk about whatever. You can check me out on there. Got my blog, joshfern at .wordpress.com. If you want to check out my pseudo-intellectual philosophical rambling on a bunch of bullshit. But yeah, hit me up. Let's talk.
All right, check out Josh's bullshit. That was a really nice way to pitch it, man. And please retweet, comment, share the pod. Good luck in your contest. I will see you guys tomorrow. Monday. I will see you on Monday.
If the world is still existing,